Turn it in, please. There's a John. The chapter of John. I'll ask you again, please, to read verse 16. John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In closing of the meeting tonight, I would like to speak from this text which we love to speak from. It is a text that was often spoken by a man by the name of D.L. Moody. On one occasion, he had an audience of 3,000 people before him, plus, and he was preaching from John 3:16, and he asked the people that those who had received the assurance of eternal life through that text, if they would raise their hand. It's amazing. At least I found it amazing. 2/3 of the people, you know how many that is? 2,000 out of 3,000 raised their hand in that audience. My friend, I say that for this reason tonight. As you have been hearing the truth of John chapter 3, could I tell you that multitudes of people have found the answer to being born again in John 3:16. I hope you will find it tonight. When I was in Sunday school, we used to sing a little song about John 3:16. John 3:16. John 3:16. It was a beautiful, that's the way it started, a beautiful little song. 25 words in John 3:16, 12 about God, and 12 about me, Son in the center, John 3:16. And that's what I would like to note with you a little in the closing of this meeting tonight. The Son, who is in the center, John 3:16. My friend, may I say to you kindly, if you have never in your life before recognized the need of being born again, receiving everlasting life, I would like you to point you to the only person that can give it to you. The person of the Lord Jesus. That's what John 3:16 is all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's the central word of the text. I would like to note with you 5 things that this text shows about the Lord Jesus. And friend, every one of them are totally essential. Essential. That means you cannot get away without the Lord Jesus in these 5 ways that he's presented in this one text. Lovely text. God so loved the world. You know that ought to bow our hearts tonight. Not one heart in this audience would remain standing, if I may use that expression, if they grasped the reality of these words. My middle son, he's 34 years of age presently, and I remember at one occasion when he sat in a gospel meeting, John 3:16 was being preached, and those 2 words bowed that boy's heart when he was 16 years of age. So loved. I see him yet, with his head in his hands. And he just began to bawl. He couldn't stop it. I asked him, what's the matter, Paul? What is it, son? He says, God loves me, and I never knew it before. Raised with him from the time he was born. But it dawned upon his darkened heart that the God of heaven chose to love him. Ah, friend, I would that you may see that tonight. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The first thing that I would like you to notice about the Lord Jesus as the center of this text is that he is the mediator between God and man. The first 12 words are about God. The last 12 words are about men, and the Son is in the center. And my friend, if the Lord Jesus was not the center of John 3:16, can I say to you there would be no way that God and men could ever get together? That's what John 3:16 is showing you. Now all of you children here tonight, you young men and women, and those of you who are older, could undoubtedly recite John 3:16. Have you ever thought before in your life that the Lord Jesus, the center of that text, is the only reason that God and men could ever be brought together? He's a mediator. Now a mediator, there are three things that are required of a mediator if he's going to be effective. Now I think you may know what a mediator is for the sake of you younger folk here tonight. If you've ever heard of some of the problems that the union and management have, sometimes they can't get them settled. And so they'll have to get a man who's going to come and look at both sides of the issue and try to bring the thing together, and then he'll make a suggestion to them as to how they can get the matter settled. That's a mediator. Friend, that's what our Lord Jesus is. Tonight he lives in heaven. He once was here upon earth, and he went to Calvary's cross as the mediator. Let me tell you the first thing that's required in a mediator. He must be able to fully understand both sides of the question. He has to be able to do that. He couldn't be a relative of one of the management, because then he'd be biased, see? He would be biased. He'd have to be, if he was a relative of one of the management, he'd have to be also a man who worked in the shop in order to have both sides. My friend tonight, that's what John 3:16 is telling you and me, sinners that we are. Notice how this text describes man. He's a perishing man. Perishing. That's a solemn word. Have you ever pondered what it means to perish? I looked it up on one occasion and found three ways that perishing is described. One is to have a rotten apple. It's perishing fruit. It's perishables. Ever see that written on the back of a big 18-wheeler truck? Perishables. Fruit. Food. Perishing. And it only takes one bad apple, you know, to make the whole bushel bad. Perishing. My friend, we are perishing. You know what it means? We're getting worse every day. We're not getting better. We're dying in our sin. That's perishing. That's solemn, friend. Every day that man lives, he takes an empty bucket and he puts it into an empty well and he spends all day lifting it up empty. Dying. Never satisfied. That's what man is. That's what we all are. Every one of us here tonight would do well to face the solemn issue. I am a perishing sinner. The second way that perishing is described, the boys and girls would understand this here tonight. It means to be worn out. It's perishing. Your boots get worn out. And the boys like to get the new sneakers. They like those kind that get the air in them, you know. I saw a new boy one time paid $75 for a pair of those things. Got some air in them. Good old sneakers. There they are. But my friend tonight, when that thing gets punctured, and when that thing gets worn, and when the fabric begins to go, it's perishing. That's why there's wrinkles on your face. That's why there's gray hairs on my head tonight. I'm perishing. I'm a dying person. My friend tonight, it's a solemn thing to be human in sin. We're perishing. Perishing sinners. The third way that perishing is used in the dictionary is of a sinking ship. A ship that's going down. Men are perishing. There's no hope for them. My friend tonight, can I say to you kindly, there's only one lifeboat for men that are perishing, and it's the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 3, verse 16. Notice the mediator is required that he must have a full knowledge of both sides. Our friend, that's why our Lord Jesus came down out of heaven. He is God eternal. He knows God's side. He knows all that God's heaven requires, that you and I, poor dying, perishing men, might be rescued and saved. And he's going to throw you the life belt. Will you take a hold of it tonight? He's going to give it to you, dear perishing soul in this meeting. What will you do with the life belt which the Lord Jesus will throw to you tonight from John 3 and verse 16? Yes, not only is he God, and he knows what heaven requires in all his holiness and in all the justice of God's eternal throne. But he became man. That's why he was born at Bethlehem. That's why our Lord Jesus came into the world born of the Virgin. He must know both sides. And the Son of John 3:16 knows both sides. Marvelous Savior. You can trust him, friend. You can trust him with your soul to keep you out of judgment, which your sins deserve. You can trust the Son of John 3:16. But the second thing that's required in a mediator, he must be willing to become the mediator. He must be willing to stand between the two parties. Because as you can see from John 3:16, God and men are not thinking the same. And furthermore, God and men were not like God. And furthermore, we find there's a great distance between God and men. God is in heaven, and man is perishing in his sin, and will perish forever and ever if he is not born again, saved by God's rich grace. My friend, the Lord Jesus, to become the mediator of John 3:16, he must be willing to leave heaven. Ah, again, can I say to you, every one of us in this little audience tonight, we ought to bow our knees by our bed ere you turn your light out. You young folk here tonight, and older ones as well. And thank God that the Lord Jesus was willing to come out of heaven and into our world, that he could be the mediator between God and man. He was willing to come. Ah, the Lord Jesus said to the people on one occasion, I lay my life down of myself. No one takes it from me. I lay it down. He could say to his Father before he came, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. He was willing to come. What a mediator. But can I note with you that for a mediator to be effective, and for God and men to be brought together, man to be brought to God in reconciliation, the mediator must be accepted by both sides. Ah, friend, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16, he has been accepted by God. That's why he's in heaven tonight. When he went to the cross, and he poured out his life's blood, marvelous sacrifice. What caused the Lord Jesus to suffer at Calvary as he did? To fulfill John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's your side, accepting the mediator. That's me, accepting him. My friend tonight, that's what God is offering to you. Is there a perishing sinner here tonight? Is there one soul that you know from your Sunday school teaching? You know from your mother and dad? You know from reading your Bible that you are a perishing sinner, just like the bad apple, and it's getting worse every day. Yes, and just like a sinking ship, you're going down and you know it and you don't know how to be delivered. The Lord Jesus is the mediator. He came from heaven. He went to the cross. He stood facing the awful realities of God's holiness and justice against our sin, and he accepted it. Willingly accepted it. He paid the full price. Poured out his life's blood. He entered into death in order that he might break its power. What a wonderful, capable, available Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And what did God think of his work, friend? God accepted it. God isn't looking for anything more from man in order to be reconciled to God. He's accepted what the mediator paid. He's accepted what the Lord Jesus accomplished. And now, friend, he's looking for you to accept. Ah, don't argue with it. Don't try to reason your way around it. You are a perishing sinner. You are far from God spiritually. And you will never be born again, that is, to receive everlasting life, until you accept the mediator, the Son of
of John 3:16. Can I note with you as well that the Lord Jesus is the reconciler in this passage? Now a reconciler is one who is able to bring both sides together. That is, he does not only get them talking together, but he brings them together. And that's what we have in this beautiful passage of John 3:16. The Son in the center, God in heaven. How can man on earth be reconciled to God? Now immediately that you speak of the truth of reconciliation, we have to acknowledge that there has been something come between two persons. I once had the joy of seeing a father and son reconciled. You know, it wasn't in my family, but as I stood in the other room and I heard the father weeping, and I heard that son sobbing as he laid his head upon his father's shoulder, I had to look through the door. And I stood there with tears coming down my cheeks. Father and son that had been separated for years. It was the son's fault. He got a big head on his shoulder, bigger than it really was, you know. Thought father didn't know anything. He decided he'd take the bit in his teeth and go his own way, and he did. And for years, his father yearned and longed after that boy. Wrote them letters, so did his mother. And you know, that boy never sent a letter back home. Never sent one. He was mad. Something happened in his life. And he was away. Took a sickness that he thought he was going to die. That gave him a good shake. And there was one thing he knew he had to do before he died. I've got to get right with my hand. I thought, what a beautiful picture of God's salvation. That's John 3:16 in this passage tonight, friend. With that boy, that father, and that son with their arms about each other. Reconciled. Past was all blood of them. That son stayed at home after that. Yes, and God graciously gave him the joy of eternal salvation. And friend, that's what this passage is wanting you to see tonight. May I ask you, even you dear young folk who are in this audience tonight, why is it that you don't like to read your Bible? Why is it that you'd sooner play than come to Sunday school or go to meeting? What about you, dear older folk? Isn't it amazing how that in ourselves we can find excuses, even if there aren't any, of why we're too busy to go to meeting? Isn't that amazing? You know what that is, friend? That's a revelation that we are far away from God. Something has come between me and God. And that something is called sin. Your own sin. That's what causes us to run away from God. That's what causes us to try and avoid facing the truth. But the Lord Jesus in John 3:16, he puts his hand upon the poor wayward sinner. He takes him by the hand and he brings him to God. Ah, I cannot help but tell you the story of a dear mother who grieved over a father and son that were separated. Just like you and I are, friend, by nature from God, far from Him, doing our own thing, living our own way, closing His book and not wanting to read it because it condemns us, we say. And yes, it does, because we're not willing to be reconciled. That dear mother wrote to that boy far away from home, told him that she was dying, and she was dying. And he asked him if he would not come home. He came home to see her. When he walked in the room, there was mother lying on the bed. On the other side of the bed was father. Boy and father wouldn't even look at each other. They wouldn't even look each other in the face. They allowed that something that came between them to separate them. And that dear dying mother feebly reached her husband's hand and the hand of her wayward son and brought them together upon her bosom. Held them and died. She died that they might be reconciled. And that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the death of Calvary. For what purpose? That he might be able to say to you tonight, poor sinner, whoever you may be, as I well remember in my own experience when it reached my heart, whosoever means me, and indeed like the hymn writer says, it's better than my name, whosoever believeth in him, that's my hand being put in his, reconciled by the death of his Son. Ah, friend, the Lord Jesus is the reconciler. It is not baptism. It is not good works nor prayers. It is not efforts nor money. It's only the Son who is the reconciler between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Can I note with you the Lord Jesus is as well the Savior in John 3:16. He rescues men. Men are perishing, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, going down like from a sinking ship. Here's the life belt tonight, friend. I wonder, will you put your arm through it? What is the life belt? The Son. He's the one that does the saving. The Lord Jesus is the one that does the rescuing. He is able to save, says the Bible. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. The picture is very simple, friend. The Lord Jesus is there. Put your arm through the life belt, and he will save you. That's what John 3:16 is telling you tonight. God has provided in the riches of his mercy the only life belt for perishing sinners, and it's the Son. The Lord Jesus, when he was here upon earth, he gave men the assurance of the forgiveness of sins, saved from the penalty of their sin by the word of Christ. They just took a hold of it. Ah, friend, may I ask you tonight, what will you do with the words of our Lord Jesus? He has given them in his precious word. Is sin your problem? I hope it is. Is sin a burden to your conscience? I hope it is, friend. For it's sin, like coal in a sack, that's weighing you down, like stones in a box, that's tied to your back, and if you slip over the boundary of life into death, it will sink you into a sinner's hell, forever and forever, never to be released. You need to be saved. You're going down as a sinner, and the Lord Jesus, John 3:16, the Son in the center, the Lord Jesus is the Savior of sinners. I wonder if there is one with sin as your problem. Can I tell you what the Lord Jesus says about it? Listen to him, friend. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement that we may have peace was on him. My, I marvel when I think of it. He bared his back to the rod of shame that I deserve. He bared his heart to the sword of justice that I deserve. And that's how I know I'll never be punished. Payment God will not twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. And ah, that Sunday night sitting on the side of my bed, I put my arm through the light belt. I took him as my own. And the soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose. He never, no, never deserts to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no, never, nor never forsake. The Lord Jesus is the Savior in John 3:16. Saving perishing men. How does he save them? He gives them everlasting life. They shall never perish. That's being born again. It's a gift of the grace of God. And that's how John 3:16 could read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him puts his arm through the life belt, trusting his soul to Christ for salvation. Listen to what he says. He shall not perish, never go down, but be born again, have everlasting life. That's exactly what the text is saying to you tonight. As I close the meeting, can I note with you that the Lord Jesus is the satisfier both of God and men in this little text. He satisfies. I don't know if anyone's ever told you. I have had many people tell me, you know, I could hardly live like a Christian. You know, I don't think I could live like a Christian. And anyway, you know, I'm half as scared of God. I've had people, many people tell me that. I'm half as scared of God. But I'd like to tell you, friend, if you continue and you choose to continue in your sin, you might well be afraid of Him. Because God will not put up with sin. And when you come to go into eternity, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And again, says dear David, the sinner will be turned into hell. And all the people that forget God. So my friend, tonight we're dealing with a God who is against sin. But He loves your soul, the poor sinner that you are. And He wants to see you saved from the penalty of your sin that you might be in heaven. And can I say to you, if you ever get to know the Lord Jesus, you will never be happier in all your life. You couldn't be more satisfied. Why, my friend, tonight the reason I'm satisfied with the Lord Jesus is because God is satisfied with Him. That's what's in this passage. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's His co-equal. That's the Son of His bosom. He loves Him. God loves the Son, and He's put all things into His hand. That's in this very same chapter, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son. No wonder He loves Him. He pleased Him in everything. Never disobeyed Him. He could not sin. He loved Him because of the purity found in Him, because of the greatness of His work. My friend here tonight, when you're willing to do what God has done with the Lord Jesus, you'll be satisfied with Him too. Well, you say, what has He done? He's put all things into His hand. Trust Him. Trusted Him with the work of salvation. He's trusted Him with all the kingdoms of the world to come. And when you're willing to trust Him with your soul, you'll have everlasting life. He gives it. And you'll be satisfied. Ah, how the Lord Jesus satisfies. Dear friend of mine, when he was 19 years of age, he worked on Frank Sinatra's yacht down in Miami, Florida. He used to shine the brass. One day he was on that yacht, and one of the movie stars came to him when he was working away on the brass. She said to him, young fella, you're lucky. She said, I have all kinds of money. And I'm totally dissatisfied. Totally dissatisfied. She says, I'm unhappy. You're lucky, she says. You don't have those things that I have to worry about. You know what that boy said to himself? He said, I'm getting off this boat as soon as I can, and I'm going home to listen to the gospel. If this world doesn't satisfy, whatever will be needed. The fellow came back and he just happened to be having gospel meetings at the time when he came home. He came to the meetings and he got God's salvation, received Christ as his personal Savior. Satisfied, you should see him today. Satisfied with thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed. Ah, friend, here tonight, can I say to you that the Lord Jesus is the mediator of John 3:16. He has come between you and the God against whom you have sinned, and He settled the question at Calvary. Will you receive Him? Will you take Him as your hope? Lay aside all the ideas that you have about getting right with God and receive Christ. God has received Him, and when you receive Him, you will be reconciled to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and you will be saved from perishing, going down. Oh, God, help you to see you are going down in your sin tonight. You've been deceived for years, perhaps some of you in this audience, and the Lord Jesus is the rescuer, the Savior of sinners. is the center of John 3:16, and he satisfies God through his work at Calvary, satisfied every claim of justice, and he'll satisfy you the moment you're willing to take him at his word and trust him for your salvation. Our God in heaven, we thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that every one of us in this audience tonight will come face to face with his holy person. And we know, our God, there are those here who will rejoice to see his face. Ah, how precious it will be to look upon the wounded hands of the man who suffered and died for our sins. How precious to look in his lovely face and be able to say, Thou art altogether lovely, my Lord and my God. But, O God, there are those with us tonight, and how we trust, we trust with all our hearts that they will heed the messages that they have heard, recognizing that they are without the Savior. How awful it would be to meet them in their sin and their self-will and their determination to stick to their own ideas. How awful to meet the Savior of sinners, the man who bled and died to meet the claims of God that they might be saved, and yet they turned away. We pray for them. We ask thee, Lord, to give them to see that they're perishing if they've never seen it before, and this night they may lay hold of the Son and be saved for eternity. We ask these blessings in our Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us sing the last hymn in the book, please. The last hymn in our book, 256. When the Savior said, 'Tis finished, everything was fully done, done as God himself would have it. Christ the victory fully won. Vain and futile the endeavor to improve or add thereto. God's free grace is thus commended to believe and not to do.'" Sing both verses, please, of 256. Remember the prayer meeting that follows. We need much to spend time before our God in prayer. And then Sunday, if the Lord will, at 7:30 for the preaching of the gospel, 3:30 in the afternoon for the believers, and tomorrow evening, as was mentioned in Fleetwood, at 7 p.m. And likewise, the missionary meeting at 7:30. 256, the meeting is this.
When the Savior says,